I want to make sure.
October 14, Mark, 2022. It was addressed to me, to Justice Hardesty and Jamie Graddick. Recommendations to ADKT 582 Commission regarding diversity, equity, and inclusion. Do you see that? Is everybody on the same page?
Yes.
Okay. Did you find it, Mark?
The one I have is October 17. You're saying October 14, right?
Yes. Okay. That is correct, right, Judge Riggs?
Yes, sir. That's what I have.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I hesitate to move on unless you got it in front of you, Mark. I want to make sure you've got the right document.
Just a second.
Jamie did put it on the web page for the meeting today, so it's included on the link that she sent out this morning.
My copy also says October 17th, so I haven't seen an October 14th copy.
Is it possible for you to pull up the web page? I want to make sure we all have the same document, so it was resent this morning. And Almeda, I think, did you send that out or did Jamie?
Jamie sent it out this morning, and then I went ahead and opened all the documents from the webpage that she linked this morning, and mine for Judge Riggs also says the 14th.
Okay.
Oh, possibly an updated version? I'm not sure.
No, the 14th is the one we're working off of, right?
Yeah.
So I guess what was the purpose of the one that's the 17th, 3 days later, is it?
I don't have that one right at my fingertips. I only have the one from the 17th.
14th.
Or from the 14th.
I just have the 17th. Maybe they're the same. You know, they may be the same. I've just...
Judge Riggs, do you know what it was on the 17th? You're muted.
Excuse me, I'm looking through my files to see if there's a more updated version. If
I don't have that.
Yeah, I have the 14th.
Well, it seems to me that we may have to go one by one then.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to go one by one. So let's make sure we've got it. All right. The first proposal reads as follows from the October 14th letter. The ADKT 0582 Commission makes a finding that it is in the interest of fairness to the public and to judges who are subject to the process of Nevada Commission on Judicial Discipline that the Commission's members represent the diversity, including gender diversity, of the citizens of the state of Nevada and the Nevada and the judges who appear before it. Okay, that was number one.
That's what mine says on the 17th.
Okay, and then number two. The ADKT 582 Commission recommends that the Nevada Commission on Judicial Discipline, NCJD, amend the procedural rules of the NCJD pursuant to Rule 36 to include a rule stating the following, quote, when a commissioner's term is expiring or when a vacancy occurs on the commission, the executive director will inform the appointing authority in writing and or via electronic communication of the expiration slash vacancy. The executive director may not advise, recommend, or request that the appointing authority appoint a specific person, including the incumbent, to fill the expiring term slash vacancy. Do you see that? Is that what you've got, Mark?
Yes, that's what it says on 1017 as well.
Okay. Number three is stricken. Going on to number four, reads as follows. The 80KT 582 Commission recommends to the Nevada Governor, the Board of Governors of the State Bar of Nevada, and the Nevada Supreme Court, when informed by the Executive Director of the Nevada Commission on Judicial Discipline, that Commissioner's term is expiring or that a vacancy has occurred, that the appointing entity advertise the vacancy through their own established modes of communicating with the members of the public, the State Bar of Nevada, and members of the Nevada Judiciary, organization website advertisement, state and local bar association newsletters, emails, et cetera, prior to the appointment. In addition, the ADKT Commission recommends that all appointing authorities explicitly seek candidates with familiarity with the rules of professional conduct and the code of judicial conduct, or whatever, however that's termed.
May I ask, since the statute requires, as I understand it, that there be three lay members, am I correct about that?
Yes.
How would you expect lay people to have that prior experience with?
And that's why I changed it to familiarity. All I do is download the code and read it.
Okay.
Go ahead, Keith. Go,
I'm just, you know, as somebody who has spent a little bit of time with judicial and legal ethics for, you know, I don't know, 30 years, I think that a lot of these things have become less aspirational and more rules-based and technical in some respects. And so having people read the rules of professional conduct and or the code of judicial conduct, you know, it might detract from the benefits of having lay people on the commission to begin with, right? Because they're not constricted by these professional perspectives that have been drummed into all of us over the years. And so they might have a different take that would be valuable. Since we're talking about, you know, the value of diversity, it seems to me that's one of the values of diversity, is having people that aren't, you know, subject to that prior knowledge.
All right, thoughts?
I agree with that. I agree with what's just been said. And this language, as I see it, I think it's the same. It has four categories, right? Prior experience as a member of one or more professional.
No. That's all strictly.
Okay, so that's on the 14th. Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's strictly.
Justice Perigary, I have a 430 that's a criminal case. It's an emergency case. I've got lawyers meeting in the rotunda. I would vote in favor of this if my vote is needed. If allowed, I'd give my proxy to Judge Denton. But thanks, everybody. Nice to see you, and best wishes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're focusing on the discussion whether we want the familiarity with the rules of professional judicial conduct.
Well, do you think that just familiarity with general concepts of ethics, Justice Perigary would sort of widen the field a little bit and address Mr. Fisher's concerns? My concern is, again, you know, with the lay members not having any specific requirement for complying with an ethical code, that when they come onto the board, they have some sort of experience dealing with it, and it's not hard to get. As I indicated, you know, when I first proposed this, you know, contractors board, HOA association, any position in government, you know, it's, I think that, be, and again, because the two leading members of the commission are, you know, are going to be lay people, I don't think it's too much to ask that they have some sort of exposure to ethical principles.
Well, and again, it's aspirational, really, because the governor is going to appoint who the governor wants to appoint, as will the state bar and the Supreme Court. Right. And we've all got that on, you know, on our mind, the diversity aspect. So I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Well, that means you're going to exclude, car salesmen, and which might not be altogether a bad thing. I don't know.
Salesmen are required to act ethically. They're required to, they're required to act ethically and legally in their transactions. They're not allowed to mislead people by law, et cetera.
And no, so but they don't have any particular familiarity with codes of ethics or Aristotelian ethics or any kind of training. You know, I obviously I'm just, advocating for a particular point, which is that if you're going to have lay people, you shouldn't detract from the value of having lay people. And one way to thread the needle would be to use exactly the language that you've drafted and say, except with regard to the lay members, right?
That would not be my point. I mean, judges who are appointed by the Supreme Court and attorneys who are appointed by the State Bar Board of Governors have to practice an ethical code. The entire board is responsible for deciding ethical issues when they are determining whether to remove a judge from an elected spot. Again, any sort of exposure to ethics is easy to have, and I don't think is out of reach for most members of the public.
Well, what about in most states they have a similar requirement that a certain number of members be lay members, and none of them adds anything to that. I hear your argument. I think it has some persuasive force. I'm just saying what I'm saying because I don't want you inadvertently to limit yourself, because it's not easy to find good members of these commissions.
Judge Riggs, would it address your concern if everyone who's appointed just was expressed a willingness and maybe a requirement, much like new judges, to undergo an orientation as to ethical standards?
That would be wonderful.
But
I think that might go up. That might go back up into a recommended rule.
And Keith, would that address your concern about the diversity?
That makes perfect sense. I like that. Judge Stockett, I think that's a great suggestion. And maybe that's something that the commission does as a matter of course for its new members anyway. I don't know. But yeah, that makes perfect sense to me.
We just so for the knowledge of the commissioners, all new members go to the National Center for State Court Conferences every 2 years. That's kind of their introduction to judicial ethics, and it's a very seminars, and it's over a couple of days. So that's what we do currently.
Okay, any other thoughts? Justice Hardesty, anything from you?
Well, I think I'm not sure that requiring some familiarity is going to foreclose candidates, but maybe the issue is best solved by just relying on the commission's practice to orient the newly appointed people. I'll be honest, I'm not sure that as a judge, having never said, well, look at Judge Hardy, he was forthright in his point. You learn coming onto the commission. Just because you're a judge doesn't mean you know a whit about discipline proceedings. The whole thing is new to you. You may know how to try a case, and you may have a sense of justice, and you know what the responsibilities of being a trier of fact are. But if the commission is engaged in an orientation, maybe that's sufficient. I will say, just as an aside, even recently, the governor's office has reached out not to the court, but to a couple of people, trying to find somebody to appoint to a commission. I mean, it's hard. It's difficult. And the more restrictive it becomes, the more challenging it is. So maybe if you've got this orientation, that's sufficient. Let the chips fall where they may.
Okay, so is the will of this body to take out that language and stop the under number four, stop the last sentence. Appointing authority advises agency through their own established methods. State and local bar association newsletters, email, etc., prior to making the appointment. End of sentence and paragraph. Is that what I'm hearing?
I'm sure Judge Riggs is committed to that language. We could have a vote on it, but I'm not entirely sold on the idea that having the language dissuades getting appointments being made, but the question is whether the orientation process of the commission sufficiently satisfies the orientation of the new appointee.
Mr. Dyla, would you mind describing that again or telling us a little bit more about what the new appointees experienced during this orientation?
Well, it's not an orientation per se. We have a conversation with the new members. We provide them with a copy of the Code of Judicial Conduct or procedural rules, and they are asked to get familiar with those, and if they have any questions, to let us know. We explain the process of the commission meetings and the different phases and the different evidentiary thresholds. But as new members, we send them to the National Center for State Court Conference, which occurs every 2 years, and there's very informative seminars and courses on judicial discipline investigations, the process, and judges, attorneys, lay people attend those as commissioners, as do investigators and others, guest speakers. Professor Fisher could elaborate on that, but it's a very, very good conference, and those commissioners that have went in the past had very good things to say about it, and they learned a lot and often like to go again. So between the conference and our internal orientation process, that's how we get new commissioners up to speed.
Does that alleviate some of your concerns, Judge Riggs?
I think I've expressed what my thoughts are on this. I don't want to belabor the point. Thank you, Justice Perry-Geary.
Okay, does anybody have a motion?
I just wanted to ask a question about the last sentence of paragraph two.
Okay, go ahead.
And it's when I have, it says the executive director may not advise, recommend, or request that the appointing authority appoint a specific person, including the incumbent, to fill the expiring term / vacancy, end quote.
Okay.
That seems pretty broad from the standpoint of somebody asking the executive director, what do you think of so-and-so or whatever, so.
Respectfully, Judge Denton, that's the point, is that the executive director nor any member of the commission has any constitutional or statutory authority to pick the members of the judicial discipline.
Well, this doesn't say pick. It says may not advise, recommend, or request.
Right. And so what the practice has been in the past is to send a letter to the appointing authority, sometimes recommending that a specific person be appointed, sometimes saying that these persons are up for, or their terms expire, both of them want to be reappointed, and then they're reappointed. This does not allow the participation of other persons who might be interested in that position if the authority happens to just take the recommendation of the executive director. So that particular process is excluding others from applying to those positions is the point.
I guess I don't see how it excludes them. It just seems to me to be saying that the executive director can't even be heard.
He's not entitled to be heard other than this particular position or this position is expiring or this commissioner's term is expiring on X date. The Nevada rules of judicial conduct or the NRS indicates that these are 4-year terms. You may reappoint or you may appoint another person. Simple direction is all that they need. They don't need to be pointed to any specific person because, again, respectfully, this has resulted in no women ever being appointed to, no women attorneys or judges ever being appointed to the primary panel or the permanent panel of the Nevada Judicial Discipline.
So under that's my understanding is then if the executive director receives a call from somebody with the appointing authority asking about a person, he can't even respond to it, right?
That's what right. He said his response is that their term is expiring or it's up to, or he can give the statutory or constitutional response. It is up to the appointing authority to decide who the appropriate person is for that commission spot.
I'd move to approve the recommendation set forth by Judge Riggs as she has amended and presented today.
Second.
I wanted to see if Mr. Dyla, Paul, if you had anything to say about what we were just discussing about your experience as being executive director and calls that you may get or whatever.
I typically don't get calls from appointing authorities at all. I don't recommend applicants among a choice of applicants. Usually a term is expiring. The staff sends a letter over to the appointing authorities requesting, advising them that the term is expiring. And I do put in the letters that the current member desires to be reappointed, which I would think the appointing authorities would want to know. But ultimately, it's up to the appointing authority reappoint or not. It really comes down to the appointing authority. If they want to replace the commissioner, they can. That's up to them. But simply pointing out that an existing commissioner would like to be reappointed, being prevented from doing that, I think just encroaches on our independence as an organization and our communications with appointing authority.
Respectfully, Mr. Dyla, a recommendation from you carries a lot of weight with persons who otherwise don't have familiarity with the organization. And so if they get a recommendation from Mr. Dyla, the executive director, that indicates that Judge X and Judge X wish to be reappointed, then the question becomes, why shouldn't we reappoint them? It doesn't become, let's open up the process. The point is to open up the process to other persons who wish to participate. And
you're willing to do that.
When you recommend someone or say so-and-so wants to be appointed, that's the jury picking the jury.
I respectfully disagree.
Well, it is. It's there's no statutory or constitutional authority that gives any member of the commission or any officer of the commission the authority to nominate somebody to, you know, to pick them, to direct the other authorities in a particular direction. And so the point of paragraph number two is that this practice going onward, it has resulted in, you know, no one who is female being on that part of the commission, the permanent panel. And something needs to change, and this is one of the issues that needs to change.
As has been established at a number of meetings in the past, people have mentioned that efforts have been made by appointing authorities, and they were unsuccessful in getting somebody to fill those positions. I'm not going to regurgitate all of that talk, but to intimate that my letters to the appointing authorities have prevented grown men and women to not do what they felt is necessary to do, I can't accept. It's just a letter saying Commissioner X wishes to be reappointed. I'm not given a choice. I'm not voting on anybody. I'm not making a recommendation. I'm simply saying, giving them information that as an appointing authority would want to know is, does the existing member want to be reappointed? If they don't, then it makes it easy, to go the next step. But I would think at least they would want to know that. But I'm not putting my finger on the scale at all. I'm not voting the choice of applicant.
I guess my question would be, let's say you do the recommendation or you do the so-and-so wants to be reappointed or whatever. What if you then get a call from the appointing authority asking you questions about that person? You're saying you're okay with that? I want to make sure I understand. If there's inquiry made of you after that letter has been sent, are you accepting the notion that you wouldn't respond to it? You would just say, I can't respond?
I've never received any inquiry from any appointing authority since I became executive director ever on that.
So no appointing authority has ever contacted you to ask you to follow up on that. Is that interesting?
No, but I was contacted once by an appointing authority, and there was a choice. There was two people that were vying for the position, and the appointing authority wanted my opinion on that, and I respectfully declined to give an opinion. I thought that was inappropriate of me to do so, and I respectfully declined. But that has only happened once in 9 years.
Okay, so I'm understanding you to say that, I want to make sure I understand Judge Riggs's position on this. Are you saying that he shouldn't even be allowed to send the letter indicating that, what was it, so-and-so has, what was it, Mr. Dyla?
What?
You send the letter that says what?
That their term is expiring. We send usually a month beforehand or more, so they have time to reappoint. And I add in the letter that the existing member wishes to be reappointed if they do. And there are members that said they don't want to be reappointed, and I give that information to the appointing authority as well.
So, Judge Riggs, I just want to make sure, are you saying that he shouldn't be allowed to make that additional statement, person wants to remain or whatever?
Yes, that's correct, Judge Denton. That if the person wants to be reappointed, they can contact the appointing authority. They don't need to contact Mr. Dyla, since Mr. Dyla has no statutory or constitutional authority to weigh in on the process. And I don't need to personalize
this. All right, let's wrap this up. These are recommendations to the commission. They're going to choose to follow them or not follow them. If this is the will of the commission, then we will.
I'm
wondering if I need to take these individually or as a group now, because
I did have a pending motion on the floor.
What was the motion?
Moved to approve the slate of recommendations proposed by Judge Riggs as she modified today, which I believe removed two or three. I apologize. I don't have them up in front of me.
Yeah, I removed number three.
Yes.
And, And I think that Justice Perigueri amended number four to indicate familiarity with rules of professional conduct.
Yes.
No, my
motion would be to approve them with the exclusion of number two and number four as number modified three. By Justice Perigueri.
Number three.
It's been a long day.
I think there's some confusion as to what I modified initially. I had brought that up as to familiarity with judicial codes and professional conduct codes. Then I proposed that we stop it at the very end of the sentence prior to making the appointment and leaving that out. So if that is what the understanding is, that's what I had amended.
Yes, that would be the motion.
And I had seconded it.
Okay, and any other discussion? All right, all in favor? Aye.
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 Aye. All opposed? Okay, it passes as amended. Okay, with that, that's all we've got on the agenda today. As far as where we are sitting, I think we are ready to get a report formulated and put together. I think before anything is submitted, we will have another meeting just to make sure the report conforms with everybody's understanding. We aren't going to set a meeting today, so we're going to have time for Jamie and Almeida and we're going to put all the information together, put a report together, and then I'll circulate that. And then I'll schedule a brief meeting to make sure that we didn't miss anything, that we've got everybody's concerns addressed. Fair enough? Okay, very good. So the next meeting is to be determined after a draft report is prepared and circulated to all the members of the commission. Going to the final item, is there any public comment? Okay, hearing none, I'm going to move to adjourn. All in favor? Aye.
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 Thank you all very, you. Very much. I know it's been a long meeting, but thank you. I think we're at the end of this.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye now.
Everyone.
Stay warm.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm not volunteering for any other writing assignments, just to let you know, Justice Perigueri.
You did all your work, Kevin. You.